Invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2, if you will, please. And Geneva, can you go back to that previous slide and leave that up there until I get to the outline? You'll see why here in just a second. Notice the title this morning, Wise Men Still Seek Him. If you go on the internet and you Google that title, you will see hundreds, if not thousands, of messages with that title. It's not a new thing. It's not a new idea. It's not a new truth. It's been around for a long, long time, but a truth that we need to understand, that we need to be seeking Jesus Christ. And we don't talk a lot about, and Pastor Jordan mentioned it a few weeks ago as we had the first candle for the Advent wreath. Advent is a time to focus on Christ. It's a time to try and remove ourselves from the trappings of the world and have that mindset of what Christmas is about. Advent means coming. And the season of Advent refers to that four-week period leading up to Christmas Day. And each candle represents something different. And it's been in our bulletin. It's been up on the PowerPoint. The first candle is hope, and the second candle is love, and then the third is joy, and then the fourth is peace. And then the center candle, which is supposed to be lit on Christmas morning, is the Christ candle. We'll light that on Christmas Eve tomorrow night for our service. We'll do it one day early. But in the past, if you look at previous generations, Advent was a pretty solemn time. Those that strictly observed Advent, it was a time of moderate fasting where throughout that 28-day period you would have one meal a day of bread and vegetables. And then you would spend time in intense prayer and quiet living. You know, quite a bit different than 21st century America. Nowadays, most people celebrate Advent as more of a joyful preparation for the days of Christ's coming, and that's what we're doing. But as we go through this Christmas season, we're very shortly, you know, 2 days from Christmas, we have to be very careful to sharpen our focus and not lose sight of Jesus Christ and the reason we celebrate. And we celebrate His first coming, and we look forward to His second coming. You know, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the story of the Magi, the wise men. And when we look at our lives, we need to ask that question, am I a wise person? Do I seek Jesus? Do I still seek Jesus? There's a story of a mother who walked away from a nativity scene that was in the window of a department store. She was outraged. She said, can you believe it? They're even trying to bring religion into Christmas. Now, it'd be funny if it wasn't true. You know, think about it. I am not that old, I don't think. I can actually remember back when I was in school some things. But I remember this time that the kids are entering into now, when I was in school, was Christmas vacation. You know, it's not called that anymore. When I was in elementary and we had a Christmas program, we sang carols. Not just Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, we focused on Christmas. You know, welcome to post-Christian America. No longer can we assume that there is a biblical bias that the child, the boy next door knows what happened in Bethlehem. Let alone who was braver, David or Goliath. You know, we can't assume that. There was, and it's been probably 20 years ago now, I haven't seen one similar to this more recent, but there was a survey among six countries, and 10,000 people were surveyed. America was one of those countries. And they surveyed 10,000 people to see if they could recognize these symbols. 92% recognized the five rings of the Olympic logo. 88% recognized McDonald's Golden Arches. 88% also recognized the Shell Oil seashell. Only 52% recognized the cross. That's where we're at in our world. We can't make any assumptions. We can't assume. And so when we come to a familiar passage like we're going to look at this morning in Matthew chapter 2, we can't assume that we all know the Christmas story and parts of the Christmas stories. We're just going to look at a different aspect of it this morning. And I'm not going to give you some deep theological truth that you're going to go home and have to think about for a month before it sinks in. We're just going to lightly touch on some things. And we're going to do that on purpose, because I want us to get our focus back on the star of Christmas, Jesus Christ. Because in our world today, Jesus Christ is just one among many in the whole Christmas scene. He competes with Santa and Rudolph and Frosty and the Grinch and all these other Christmas symbols that we see everywhere as we drive down the road and as we go into the mall. And this familiar passage we're going to look at this morning, we look at a group of men who are convinced that there is one star of Christmas, that there is one worthy of their worship. Now, I wanted Geneva to leave that up there because that's the symbol we always see when we think about the wise men. We see three kings riding on a camel. When you look at the biblical account, we know very little about this group of men. We don't know exactly where they came from. Most scholars and historians believe it was Persia, which is probably likely, but we don't know for certain. We don't know how many there were. We always see three because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All we know is there were at least two, because it's, the pronouns are not singular. They're plural. They. So we know there were at least two. So we do know that. We don't know exactly when this took place. We don't know exactly when they found Jesus. Some believe that it was as late as 2 years after he was born, because when they did not report back to Herod, remember, he went and he had all the male children aged 2 and under killed. So it was sometime between that birth and age 2. We don't know exactly when they showed up. There's a lot of information that we don't have. But let me tell you this morning, we have enough. Because God always gives us enough. God always gives us what we need. So I want you to look with me and follow along as I read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. When you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." This morning, as we think about wise men still seek him, I want us to focus on, as I said, the star of Christmas, Jesus Christ. So let's think about, number one, defining the star. Defining the star. The true star of Christmas can be defined different ways, but one way it can be defined is by comparison. We know from Scripture, and we know it says here, he is King of the Jews, verse 2. And you compare the King of the Jews, you compare the star of Christmas with King Herod. Herod at that time was the most powerful man on the face of the earth. When he was troubled, everybody was troubled. And I'm not going to get into all his past. I think I shared some of it last year around Christmas time. And he was just a wicked, wicked man. Murdering family members was an everyday thing for him, let alone enemies. And, you know, think about the contrast of King Herod and Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. Now, it says at the end of verse 1 that the Magi arrived, and it says they are saying. The word saying is a present participle. It means continual action. These wise men so believed that Jesus was the King of the Jews, they went all around town looking for him, asking anybody, hey, do you know where he was born? Do you know? Do you have any idea? And so they're continually asking anyone who might know about the star of Christmas, who might know about Jesus Christ. We also know that Jesus is the one who made the law. And here throughout this passage, we have the rulers of the law, the teachers of the law, who are oblivious to what it really means and what it stands for and the purpose. We see in verse 6, he's referred to as a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Again, compare the ruler, Jesus Christ, with the ruler of the land. Drastically different. But Jesus wasn't just going to come and offer that tender care of a shepherd. He's also going to rule. You know, ruler. You know, the true star can also be identified by identity. In verse 4, it says, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. The King James uses the word Christ. Both, based on the Greek usage, both are appropriate, and they mean the anointed one, the chosen one. That's his identity. Where is the chosen one? Where is the anointed one? Where is the Messiah? Where is the Christ? The world in that day, the Jews were looking for a political leader. They were looking for someone who was going to come and bring them peace. They were looking for a military leader who would come and overthrow Herod. Even the disciples got tripped up a little bit in who Jesus really was as you look at their time with him and some of the questions they asked. But he's the anointed one. We also see that, again, in verse 6, he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd who's going to care for his sheep, provide for his sheep. The shepherd in that day, the shepherds were not looked highly upon. They were the outcasts of society. Most people thought they were nuts. You know, they spent all their time out with the sheep. Most people believed because they would pass them by in a distance and they would hear the shepherd talking. They thought he was just talking to himself and he'd lost it, but he's talking to the sheep. You know, he has a tender heart for the sheep, and it was hard for them to pull themselves away from the sheep. And they would put themselves in harm's way to protect the sheep. Jesus Christ came to be the shepherd. Put himself in harm's way for the sheep. To not leave the sheep. To provide for them, to lead them to where they needed to go. You know, a wonderful picture of our Savior. That's the star of Christmas. The focus for us is to be Jesus Christ. Let's think about number 2, searching for the star. Searching for the star. Notice what the Magi says. It says they arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star." These are intelligent men. These men, most historians believe that they studied the stars, not like in astrological signs and some of those things, but they studied the stars, and you could learn a lot from the stars. And there was something about this star was different. They knew this was the star that belonged to the Messiah. We saw his star. And that made them change everything about what their plans were, what their goals were, what they were doing. We saw his star. I don't think they were looking for his star. They were going about everyday business and suddenly they saw a star. It causes me to think about, where do we see evidence of Jesus today? When people look at your life, do they see evidence of Jesus Christ? Maybe they're not even looking, but as they look at you, they can't help but see Jesus. Does that describe you? You know, think about that. If someone walked into your home right now and they walked around, would they see evidence that Jesus is present? That Jesus is a part of your life? If right after church they went out to the parking lot with you and got in your car and what came on the radio, would it be evident that Jesus is a part of my life? The clothes we wear, the words we use. Are we displaying Christ so if people aren't even looking, they see Jesus? They see something different. They notice Christ in our lives. You know, most scholars believe that the Magi were wealthy, that they were very, very intelligent scholars, that they were Gentiles, and we see their persistence. No scholarly person who follows the light that God gives them will miss him. If you're looking, you're going to find him. Now notice that our search is enabled and encouraged and helped by the companionship of others. We said we don't know how many there were. We know there were at least two. They didn't go alone. And we're on this journey in the Christian life, and we need to be careful not to be a Lone Ranger Christian and not go it alone. We need the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ around us to lift us up when we get low and to help us as we are about the Lord's business. We need to be arm in arm with godly people around us. Now, they searched carefully. So that word saying, they were continually asking, where is he? So it's kind of ironic when Herod comes to them in verse 8, he says, go and search carefully for the child. They've already been doing that. King James uses the word diligently. You know, go and use everything at your disposal to find him. It's easy this time of year to lose our focus because of all the other stars in the Christmas sky. And we don't really see the star of Christmas. We don't see Christ. And we have to be diligent. We have to be careful in our search to keep Christ the focus, to keep our eyes fixed on him. Let's think about number three, following the star. Following the star. When we follow the true star, when we follow Christ, he affects our emotions. Now we see in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They knew once they saw that star again, they were going to find the Messiah. They were going to find Christ. You know, when we truly follow Christ, it's going to affect our emotions. Are you so used to being a child of God? Are you so used to your walk with Christ that you've lost your zeal for worshiping and serving him? You still get excited? You know, if we're truly following Christ, it's going to affect our emotions. It says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. When's the last time you spent time with God and you found him and you're with Christ and you're spending time in your devotions, you're spending time in prayer, you're spending time singing, you're spending time, and you got excited about that? Some of us, it's been a very long time. We need to get our focus back on the star. We need to get our focus back on Jesus Christ. When we follow the true star, he also affects our worship. He affects our worship. In verse 11 says, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. They fell to the ground and worshiped him. They came into the presence of Christ. They couldn't do anything else but fall to the ground and worship him. Does coming into the presence of God cause you to worship him? Doesn't matter if you're in church. Doesn't matter if you're sitting on your couch and you're spending time and doing your devotions and spending time with God. Doesn't matter if you're driving down the road and you've turned off the radio and you're just praying and spending that time worshiping God. Does following the true star affect our worship? It should. It should make a difference in our lives. And when we follow the true star, he affects our future plans. Notice it says in verse 12, "And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." They were in tune with God's message. If we're following the true star, we're going to be in tune to God's message. And we're going to hear what He says to us through His Word, through the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and it's going to affect our future. It's going to affect our plans. So many times we get so disillusioned by all the voices of the world, by all the stars in the sky. There's an illustration that's been used probably thousands of times. I think it's been used so often that nobody knows where the source is. But it's appropriate here. And you've probably heard it many times as well. The ship was sailing, and the captain looked into the distance of the dark night, and he saw some faint lights. As he called the signalman, and he said, "Signal out a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south." Pretty quickly, a response came back through the lights that said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." He got a little ticked off that he wasn't received, and so he said, "Send out another message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm the captain." Another message came back, says, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman First Class Jones." He said, "All right, we're going to put an end to this." He sent out a message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a battleship." Response came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm the lighthouse." You know, so many times we're like that captain. We're so full of ourselves and we're so self-confident and we have all these things and we get disillusioned with reality. Especially around Christmas. Our focus is on so many other things that we lose our focus on Christ. And we can't hear Him speaking. And we can't hear Him directing. And we can't hear Him giving us that gentle nudging that we need. And if we're not careful, we're going to run into something we don't need to run into. We're going to go down a path that leads to destruction. The Magi were seeking the king. Herod was opposing the king. The Jewish people were ignoring the king. These priests knew the scripture. They could quote Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You know, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, but they didn't obey it. They were 5 miles from where the Messiah was born. And it wasn't going to affect their life any. They weren't going to travel that 5 miles. These Gentile magi sought Him and they found Him. You know, wise men and women not only still seek the true star of Christmas, but they find Him. Aren't you thankful that when we seek the star of Christmas, we can find Him? God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, "You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." We need to still seek Him. There's a couple men who have been used by God. They've written several books. And both sort of set out on the same path. They weren't seeking to find Christ. They were seeking to disprove the Bible. Josh McDowell is the name of one of the men. He grew up in Athens area, was a friend of my dad, and an avowed atheist. And he was determined that he was going to disprove the Bible and Christianity. And as he dug up facts and historical things, and he quickly realized the truth and came to Christ. Lee Strobel is another man who has sought out to disprove Christianity and came to Christ. And he's written several books called The Case for Christmas and The Case for Easter, and because the truth is there and you can't refute it and you can't change it. If we seek him, we will find him. I want to tell you this morning, if you haven't found the star of Christmas, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're not a child of God because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you can find him. And you can have that knowledge that you're a part of the family of God, that you belong to him. If you simply come to him and say, God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus Christ came to this earth for us. He was born to die. Don't miss the message of Christmas. Jesus Christ came for you. You know, if that's you this morning, you're struggling with that, you know, come find me in my office afterwards. Talk to Pastor Jordan. Talk to somebody next to you. Find the gift of Jesus Christ for Christmas. Be wise and seek him. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the Christmas message. Lord, we thank you that we have the example of the wise men who searched and found Christ, found Messiah, found the Anointed One. Lord, thank you that when we seek Christ, we can find him. He doesn't hide himself. Lord, if there's somebody here right now who doesn't have a relationship with you through faith in Christ, I just ask that you will work in their hearts and minds. That you will draw them to Jesus Christ. Lord, the vast majority of us here have that relationship, but I wonder, do we still seek you? Do we still seek Christ? Or do we get so bogged down with all the junk in our world and in our head today that it's just a fog? Help us to fix our eyes on you and remember to keep Christ in Christmas. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.